Okay, sir. I'm going to call back in.
Lock
yes, sir.
Talk Radio.
Trying to get her to see what she had going on tonight, and
she let us down. She said, get her with her next week, Sister Gidget. And I told her, yeah, that's cool. Guys, tonight's topic is let us make men undoing of the Willie Lynch syndrome. So let's get into it with Sister Gidget, Brother Lakeem, and we got Brother Captain Allen and Brother Charles Mohammed. We got those guys on the phone. So let's get it started, guys. What's up, gang?
Assalamu alaikum, family. Greetings to our listening audience. Greetings to my African family, my Nigerian cousins, Kadu, my Kenyan cousins, Ujambo, and assalamu alaikum to my distinguished panel this evening, and also to you, Brother DJ Black Caesar. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Okay, did we get Brother Sana on the phone?
No, we didn't. I'm going to try him. I'll keep trying him, all right?
Okay, we're going to try him later. We'll come back to him later. We'll take a break, and then we'll call him during the break. I want to really get into this because we have a lot to cover and a short time to do it. I want to start off by saying that any of you who have questions out there, please do not hesitate to ask them, and please do not hesitate to call in. If you're calling in by phone, of course, the number is 646-716-5971, and if you're online, go into the chat room and Caesar will see your question and ask on your behalf. So I want to start out first by introducing my panel. I would like to introduce Brother Captain Allen Muhammad. I think that's from Muhammad Mosque number 78 in Jackson, Mississippi. Am I correct, sir?
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, Captain Allen. I'm having a little trouble hearing you. Can you talk up a little bit? And while you're doing that, can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I am a student captain here at Mosque number 78. I first joined the nation in 1974 under the leadership of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. From his departure, I left the nation and joined back in 2006, about 5 or 6 years ago. And since then, I've been on this path under the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, guidance and study. And I'm still a student, and I'm learning every day of what's going on with myself and with others. And this is a development and a class that helps make men and stuff, because if we're dealing with this Willie Lynch thing, and I don't want to get into a long lecture, this man has developed something to tear us totally apart, physically as well as mentally, because at the stage now, we are killing each other physically. When he introduced this, we began to kill each other mentally. And this thing has grown. And I'm just looking at the letter that he wrote and how he developed this thing. And it's really something. It really is. But however, I've been in the nation now for 5 years. I work hard and follow the instructions and everything under the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and develop myself and become in leadership and a servant to the people here in Jackson, Mississippi. That's what I'm thinking.
Thank you,
great
sir.
Love.
And we also have with us Brother Charles Muhammad out of Mosque number 78 as well. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Charles.
Wa alaikum salam.
How
can
you
hear
sir?
Me?
We hear you loud and clear.
I'm doing fine as well. Very happy to be invited to make a few statements on your radio broadcast. I have been a student of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan since 1979. I got my ex in 1980. So it's been now December will be 32 years as a student.
All praises be to Allah.
Praise be to Allah.
As a student. And very happy, very happy to say that I'm still active here in Jackson, Mississippi, where I was born and raised. Have a rich history in this community, but it has been the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that I have experienced the most self-development as it relates to who I am and what my purpose is. So I'm just very happy to add my voice to others to talk about how we can continue to change our condition in the community. Unfortunately, when I arrived here at my home just a few minutes ago, a neighbor of mine had experienced a burglary, an attempt burglary, and of course, this is indicative to what we all are experiencing throughout the country and throughout our community, where many of our young men who are not employed and who have started to and continue to prey on the community to survive. We have become victims of this society by breaking in, and of course, as Brother Allen has mentioned earlier, the escalation of black-on-black crime in the community. And it is directly related to the tragedy that is occurring in our community as it relates to son-father relationship and not having the proper leadership in our community that address this issue and how it affects the whole community.
Yes, sir, absolutely. And thank you for that, Brother Charles. And also, we have our Chief Executive Officer, our captain, our founder, Brother Rakim on the phone. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Walaikum salam, sister.
How are you?
I'm fine, sister. And you know something about the grace of Allah? I'm happy to have these two distinguished gentlemen on the show tonight because, in case no one knows, when I first came to the Nation of Islam back in 1990 or 91, Brother Charles Muhammad, he was my minister. This was my father that raised me from the dead back in the early 90s.
All praises due to Allah.
Yes, ma'am. And so, and Brother Captain Allen, I mean, this like, he's like my uncle or something, you know what I'm saying? This brother is one of the coolest brothers, and I done had many captains, but this is probably the coolest captain I done had. I mean, this brother, he gives you that, you know me, Sister Gidge, I'm not rebellious, but I'm like, I don't know, I'm in a world of my own sometimes, and I went to the mosque. I remember when one of the first times I started dealing with Brother Captain Allen, I go to the mosque. You know, we as FOI, we don't wear the toes out, and Brother Captain got on me a couple of times. Brother, you come back to the mosque. I don't want to see those ugly toes.
Wow.
And so, you know, at the time, you know, I hadn't. You know, I didn't have the FOI training manual or anything. There's a lot of things I lost because I've been inactive for some years. And the brother reminded me, he's like one of those uncles. He give you that tough love, but he give it to you with love. He don't down talk you. He don't down you. I mean, he's a very straightforward brother, and he give it to you with love. and understanding. I mean, he understands the black man. He's a trainer of men. So he's best qualified for that position that he's in. And I think
a lot
for him.
Yes, sir. And that's exactly why we have these distinguished brothers on the show tonight, because in today's society, that is exactly what we need. We need trainers of men. And I subtitled the topic, Let Us Make Man, by saying that we're bridging the gaps between fathers and sons. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to share throughout tonight's broadcast some stories with you, some real live, true stories, not from a soap opera, not from a novel, some things that I have personally experienced in my family, and some things that has occurred with friends of mine and people that I know. So these are actual facts. We are losing our men by the hundreds of thousands. And we have to be in a position of understanding in order to turn this critical situation around. And everybody is looking at themselves and checking themselves and saying, okay, I'm okay, so you say. But you're not okay if your brother's not okay. You're not okay if your cousin's not okay. You're not okay if your son is not okay. And we are going to have to bridge this gap, because there is a conspiracy on black men like it always has been. It's not anything new. But when a black man gets to a point where he is turning back to his nature of righteousness, then here comes the devil. And we are losing our young men. We are losing our middle-aged men to prison, to death, to poverty. A lot of them have given up, and we are going to have to bridge this gap, but more so for the next generation, because that is what's most important, because they are going to be a reflection of what we did in our time. And I don't want to leave here knowing that I didn't make a difference. That's just not acceptable to me. So we're going to talk about bridging the gap between sons and fathers, and we're going to talk about undoing Willie Lynch. And I'm going to share a story with you, and hopefully we can get Son Aquad on the phone. He's a hip-hop artist. Happened to meet him last night on DJ Black Caesar and Bianca's show. Very well-spoken, intelligent young man, and he speaks so passionately about how losing his father to prison affected him. And so we have so many young men out here who are losing their fathers in different degrees, and we're going to have to stop this. And for those fathers that are at a point of no return, whether they deceased, they got life in prison or whatever, somebody's going to have to step up to the plate. And I want to share with you a story. And this is I'm going to get this out the way, because this is a personal story. I'm going to tell you why it's so important that fathers atone and go and get your sons. I'm not going to call no names. And everybody know I got 23 brothers and 7 sisters, so you don't know which brother it is. I have a brother who is very successful, college graduate, master degree, married a woman with the same caliber of education, raised 5 college degree children. My brother had an affair during his marriage and fathered a child. He owned this child. And this child grew up in my neighborhood, even though my brother lived on the other side of town. And I knew this child. You know, I knew he was, you know, a little out there. You know, he was 14, 15 years old, on the corner, selling dope, smoking weed, drinking beer, you know, doing this thing. And you know, I used to always tell him, you know, you could go up on him on any day and he's cussing like a sailor. And I used to always tell him, I said, listen, I said, I don't care what you do when I'm not around, but when I come up here, I don't want to hear that. Because I got babies, and because he was a little older than my children. I say, and I don't want them to hear your mom, so you need to shut up. I said, me and you gonna dance. And he would always just cut it out when I came up, you know, to a store or wherever he was. And I felt a connection with him. I felt like I could reach him. I never knew until he was killed breaking in somebody's car that was my nephew. I did not know that until I went to the wake. And I was just going to the wake to pay my respects because it was such a sad event. He was only 17 years old when he got killed. It was just a sad occurrence in the neighborhood. Everybody knew him. Lo and behold, I look up, there's my brother, and I'm like, what you doing here? You know, I didn't know you knew this child. For my brother to turn to me and say, that's my son. I cannot tell you. I cussed him out for days. You hear me? For days. Because this child had been deprived of leadership. He had been deprived of a father, all because my brother did not want to have to confess to his wife about this extramarital affair. So this child suffered during the process of his life because my brother was hanging on to ego and pride and not owning up and not stepping up. And I'm not saying all men do this, and I'm not men bashing, don't even go there. But I'm just telling you, this is a real occurrence. And for whatever reason, and I'm speaking to all the brothers out there, for whatever reason you have decided to walk away, it's time to do an about face and go and get your son. So I'm going to talk to Captain Allen, and I'm going to share another story later on. But I'm going to talk to Captain Allen, and so I'm going to ask you, Captain Allen, from your experience, why do fathers walk away? In some cases.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
I couldn't tell you from anyone else's perspective. I can only tell you from my own. I've never had that occurrence in my life. I have six brothers under me, and I'm the oldest. My father left us, and my mother raised us. And I'm talking about a true fact of my life, too. And I had to become the father figure in the house to be an example for them and everything. And the only thing that my mother did was go out and provide, you know, food, clothing, and shelter for us. And the things that I did, they mimicked those things, so I had to watch what I do around them. I never did grow up and have any outside children or anything of that nature, so I couldn't exactly give you an idea of why did they do that. The only thing that I can see is the environment that we have been raised in according to the educational system that we have came up in. From my experience, I know I did 12 years of school, a year and a half of college. All of this time, I'm learning how to read, write, and do math and study history and all this. No one taught me how to apply this. So when I go out in life, I apply it according to how my environment or situation dictates. And a lot of times in the environment that I'm in, it steered me on the wrong path. And this helped in making my decision on what road I take in life. Today we have a leader that is guiding us back on the right path. And I have to go back to this, but that's the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He is the only leader now. I'm not bashing the church or the preachers or the deacons or none of this. They haven't did it because of the fact that
this type of teaching came from the Caucasians, and it haven't did anything for us in the past, and it's not doing anything for us now. We only knew that we was black people when the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that we was black. And with that understanding, this changed us in a way that we quit loving white people so much. But the thing that has been put in us for a period of time was we was hating ourselves. And in hating ourselves, we began to kill ourselves without even knowing that we were doing it. And all of this is a subliminal suggestion of the teaching that the Caucasian man has given us. And that's the only explanation that I can give why we make that choice. A choice of fear, of punishment. It can be a lot of different reasons. You know, not facing up to our responsibilities and everything. See, these are a lot of the things in life that stray us to making bad choices in our lives. And one thing that I can say about myself, I'm my own worst problem. When I make bad decisions, I cannot blame that on anyone else but myself, because I'm the one that's acting on what I have done or what I can do. And these are things where you come in the fork in the road, where you have to make a decision. Do you want to go to the right, or do you want to go to the left? And most of the time, the situation in our society and our lifestyle dictates which direction we are going in. And that's not the only explanation that I can get. If you understand what I'm saying, I saw it.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Brother Charles, same question.
Sister, I know that most of us have never been taught how to be a father. And unfortunately, we don't have the relationship with our father in a way that they could properly direct us or give us guidance. And this is a tragedy in our community, because even those of us who had fathers, they did not know how to communicate the role of a father to us. And this is why we see the condition in our community the way it is, because we've had no proper role model that we can look at, or we can pattern ourselves after, as it relates to accepting our responsibility as fathers in our community. And as we notice that it doesn't matter what economical status we have achieved in our community, we see the same problem across the board. We didn't have a relationship with our grandfathers. And those who did have relationships with their grandfathers, and those who had relationships with their fathers properly, we don't see that type of
okay, I'm sorry, we're getting some interference. If you're not talking right now, please mute your phone. Okay,
so,
I'm sorry, Brother Charles.
It's rare. Unfortunately, it's rare to see the proper relationship. We don't have enough examples, and as Brother Allen has expressed, we cannot thank Almighty God, Allah, for coming to us and raising up the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and we can't thank the Honorable Elijah Muhammad for leaving with us an example in the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because he has become a father to an entire nation, to an entire world, as it relates to how to be a father or how to love. I'll just say it and express it in that way. He is demonstrating to us how to love. And unfortunately, it's not just the father's fault. Everybody has to take part of the blame. When I say that is because the role that we have accepted and the example that we have looked at has been our open enemy. And we want to pattern our lifestyle after a people who have not been the right example for us. And unfortunately, for your brother to take that position, he's not, of course, he's not an exception. That's the rule. If we are married and there are relationships that occur and we end up having children, we don't want to admit to our spouses or to people that we think we have a certain image to protect. And when that occurs, everybody loses, because he loses because he does not develop and have the proper relationship with his son or daughter. The family loses because they don't have an opportunity to embrace their family member. And the child is a victim. And most cases, this is what happens. This is what happens in that type of situation, is that that child feels neglected and is searching for attention. And because they're searching for attention, their behavior dictates, or their behavior shows, that they want somebody to pay attention to them. And the only way, unfortunately, that most of the time we pay attention to our children is when they are doing something that they don't supposed to be doing, and they recognize that. So
yes, sir.
It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy in our community, and I thank you for even having this discussion, because this is a discussion that we frankly need to continue to have and challenge each other as men, that we need to accept our responsibility, admit our, and go through the atonement process and ask God to forgive us for what we have done.
Absolutely.
And begin to correct the situation. And I thank you for being so open and honest with your personal experience, that we may be able to change, and just your personal experience, hopefully those of us who are listening to this broadcast will look in the mirror and take another look at what we're doing.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Charles. And I'm going to check right now to see if we have any questions. Do we have any questions, Caesar?
Let me check and see right quick. Actually, we don't, but I will tell you, my guy's on the phone. I got Stunner Quad on the phone right now. If you want, when he gets, just get ready to talk to him.
Yeah, let's go ahead and talk to him because I know he's under a time constraint, and I want to introduce. Is he on the phone live now?
Yeah, he's been listening in since you gave him that wonderful, wonderful plug.
Well, I want to introduce hip-hop recording artist Stunner Quad. I don't know his real name. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Stunner. How are you?
Wa alaikum assalam, man. We up here in Pittsburgh. Just got my head done all night, so I heard everything you were saying, though. But shalom to everybody that's on the lines right now.
Yeah, shalom, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. And I was telling them that I had the pleasure of, well, interviewing you and talking to you last night on DJ Black Teeza and Bianna show. And, you know, one thing that you kept repeating through your story about how losing your father to prison impacted your life. And I asked you on tonight because I want you to share your story and I want you to share how it affected you and what has it caused you to do in your life now.
Oh, Stunner, hold on 1 second, brother. First of all, I think he needs to introduce himself and let everybody out there know who's listening. Let them know who he is and basically what he does.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Introduce yourself, brother. Come on up in here. You were talking last night. You know how to rap. Come on.
I'm glad, man. Shout out to both of y'all, U.S. Susan. It's a pleasure for me to be here, but for those that don't know, my name is Stunner Quad. I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I'm 24 years old. You know, so I just did a partnership deal with Soulja Boy. I signed to Soulja Boy recently this year under a partnership, SODMG Guns, to his SODMG label. And I'm just honored to be here. You know, I've been through the struggle. And so I lost my father in the worst way you could lose him. I'd rather my father, my uncle, man, like, I know this is a bad thing to say, but I'd rather come to just been, you know, like, not here than to be going through what I had to go through. But, you know, it's just a lot of scrutiny thing, and it taught me a lot. But,
okay,
you know.
And so what happened to your father, Stana?
When I was back in 2002, you know, they announced that there was a 20-year investigation. Well, actually, I think a 19-year investigation on my Uncle Oliver Beasley and my father. It was 11 indictments that came. They announced it as Operation Family Store, which was the biggest drug bust in Pennsylvania history. Like, if you go to Google, you can actually Google it. Oliver Beasley, Pittsburgh. I got a mixtape coming out October 2nd that's dedicated to the whole struggle and to the whole story. But, yeah, man, it's a true story, right? They actually interviewed my Uncle Oliver like 3 to 4 times to get him on American Gangster, and he turned him down because he never wanted his story to be shared. And I wrote him several times just waiting for him to really let me share it, and he finally agreed. And, you know, and he gave me, you know, he gave me the go-ahead, the head wave to do it. So I'm honored to be able to be the one that could tell his story because there have been a lot of playwrights, directors, Hollywood that done came at him because a lot of people know him. And he was worth $90 million when they finally brought him down. So, I mean, it ain't like he was straight from the streets. So, you know, it ain't like it was just, there wasn't no small town stuff going on up here in Pittsburgh.
So, and your father, he's in prison now?
He actually just was released, but he's still basically in prison. He's in a federal halfway. He ain't really allowed out. They always on him. They always watching him. They said they're going to be on him still strong for 5 more years. So, you know, I mean, he basically still is in prison.
So when he was in prison, how did that affect your life? How did that affect you? And what changes did you make in your life after seeing your father and your uncle become incarcerated?
That was like the most devastating thing to me ever because they was all I knew. I looked up to them. I never knew the way that another kid would probably look at, you know what I'm saying, like the life of crime in the streets and like selling drugs and the whole drug culture, I didn't look at it like that because it was normal to me. You know, that's all I ever seen. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of these rappers glamorizing and everything, but it ain't even really nothing that you should be glamorizing, because if you really living it and you really see it, I had family members, cousins, and aunts that was addicts, and I had my uncle and my dad who was, you know, the ones that was supplying, I think they said 98% of our drugs in Pittsburgh was, you know, in the state of PA, I think it was at like 47%. They controlled the whole drug market. So, me saying that, you know, it changed me drastically, like, to see them, because they was my superheroes. You see your superheroes fall to, you know what I'm saying, a man, to the law enforcement, it makes you become bitter. And, you know, I hated the law enforcement, you know, for a long time. I didn't understand, like, why they did that to me, you know. Like, it really had to, I really had to open my eyes and really come, you know, and come to one person with myself before I could even, like, forgive them, because it was like they took everything that I ever knew from me.
Yes, sir. And so, Stana, tell them now what you're doing in the community.
Right now, I actually go and talk to troubled youth at least 3 times a month. I try to do it a little more, but I'm always, like, doing shows and, like, going back and forth down south to Atlanta. I go to L.A. I go to Michigan, you know, always on the road during shows and everything. But I try as much as I can to really talk and inspire youth that is either headed down the route that I took, because I ended up forming my own gang. Well, my dad and them felt like I felt like I need a family, so I formed my own Crip gang up here in Pittsburgh. And I basically just started doing a whole lot of rebellious things, a lot of things that people rap about, like I really did it. And, you know, I just basically talk to the youth and just tell them, you know, that there's another way. I mean, I know I'm still young, too, so it's real easy for me to reach them. You know, and I basically just try to tell them there's a lot of positive things that you could get through your struggle. You, even if you want to be an artist or if you want to be a manager, you can want to be anything. Like, you can want to be a mailman as long as you put the ambition to it. You're good.
And Stana, we appreciate that. We appreciate you sharing your story. And, you know, I know, you know, it's just a blessing that you were able to come through it and turn it around and do something positive with your life and with your experience, because there are so many that don't make it. You know, so we really appreciate you, and we salute you, soldier, for doing your thing and turning it around, and turning it around while you're still so young, and reaching back for those youth to kind of guide them along the path. So you are father in the community already. So we salute you for that, soldier, and we thank you for sharing your story. Thank you so much.
Anytime,
and Stana,
you know,
tell
anytime.
Us when your album is dropping and how we can reach you before you go.
The best way to reach me right now is on Twitter. I check my Twitter. I'm on my Twitter now, actually, on the iPhone, about to shout the show out and everything. But @_SODMG. My single just came out September 11th. They picked a crazy date for me. The ringtone come out on Tuesday, but it's going to MTV Jams in a week. Single's called Gooning On Them, Stunner Quad. Salute the Soldier Boy. And thank DJ Black Caesar. Thank the sister for having me on this wonderful show. Everybody stay blessed.
Thank you, Stana. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
All right, Caesar, we're going to take questions. Do we have any now?
Let me check right quick. No, we don't. We're still looking pretty good.
Okay. We're going to move on, but I want to read something from Willie Lynch. And
okay.
And I was telling my panel that it might be a shame. I'm 46 years old. And, of course, I've heard excerpts and, you know, I've heard about Willie Lynch and, you know, I just never read the letter. You know, I just never felt a need to read some cracker's letter, you know, and I call him a cracker because that's what he was. Not that I'm saying that about all white folks, but this one in particular, yes. And I read this and I seen this in a movie called The Great Debaters. And when Denzel said it, you know, that's Denzel. You know, I was thinking it was part of a, you know, how they put extras, you know, extra emphasis on things. But then to read the mindset, whose phone is that?
I'm calling one of the brothers back.
Oh, okay. But I'm going to read this from the letter of Willie Lynch. And the reason why I really couldn't finish the letter, because the word nigger, N-I-G-G-E-R, is used in this letter more than in the movie Roots. And it was just very disgusting and sickening to me. But I'm going to read this part. It says, take the meanest and most restless nigger, strip him of his clothes in front of the remaining male niggers, the female, and the nigger infant. Tar and feather him. Tie each leg to a different horse, face in opposite directions. Set him on fire and beat both horses till they pull him apart in front of the remaining niggers. The next step is to take a bull whip and beat the remaining nigger male to the point of death in front of the female and the infant. Don't kill him, but put the fear of God in him so that he can be useful for future breeding. Now, when I look at that, and when I look at some of the other parts of the letter, and it talks about how the female is the key. She's the root. She's the essence of how to make a slave, because they're not really concerned about that first batch of Negroes or niggas, as they prefer to. They're not really concerned about them. They're planning for their economic future. And Willie Lynch tells them that you're wasting money by hanging them from a tree because, you know, you pay money for this buck or you pay money for this wench, is what they call them, and you're killing them. And so you're
the number you have dialed
money.
Has not been recognized.
Whoa, okay, that was kind of loud. Whoever that is, maybe we don't need to call them right now. But they planned for 300 years their economic future on our backs. And to me, I guess it never impacted me until now, until I actually read this letter. But I'm going to tell you something about the female, he said in this letter, about how to break us as women. And he's mentioned something about getting us to eat out of his hand and getting us to be compliant to him. And so what happens is that we raise these sons and we teach these sons to be physically strong but to be mentally weak. And so you have to understand where we've come from in history. If your great-grandmother was taught that, and she taught that to your grandmother, she taught that to your mother, and your mother taught it to you, and you're teaching it to your children, we are allowing Willie Lynch to live. And so he said that you have to put them against one another, put the old against the young, put the light skin against the dark skin, create distrust, create envy. And so we have carried Willie Lynch for 300 years. But it's time to let Willie Lynch go, because what is happening is that we have turned so much on ourselves that we really don't have to worry about the plots and the plans and the wickedness of the open enemy. We have become the open enemy on ourselves. And unless our fathers turn back to their natural state, because the first thing Willie Lynch said was to take them out of their natural state. He says that the African's nature is to provide for his family. That's the nature of the black man. So when the first thing he had to do was to take them out of his nature. So unless you go back and claim your nature, then we are going to forever be generation after generation after generation lost. And I'm saying it to the brothers because brothers are the makers of men.
Sister Gidget?
And our men have to be made whole. Yes, sir.
You know something? This is making you so emotional. I can hear it.
Yeah.
I can hear it in your voice. But sister, let me weigh in on this. Because you talked about your brother. You won't use the word cracker, but I'm gonna use the word cracker. Because
that'll be Elijah Muhammad taught us not to refer to baby language, so I'm trying to comply with the teachers, but darn it, sometimes you just got to come out the box and just say,
I'm gonna put it like this. They got the name because that's exactly what they did to us. It's not a nickname that we had to give them. This is something they did. But in order for them to be successful, they had to give the black man a new identity. They gave us a new identity. This is what you say your brother did. He did it not with the nature of himself, his original self. This come out of, and not only him, it's other black men and Latino men. This come out of a new identity. You thinking in the new identity that you were given by this white man.
In other words,
let me tell you something. In order to make a human being think in a new way about life, you must start re-educating the children or babies away from the original way that they had been educated. And you know, in Africa, we were educated. We were fathers. We were mothers. We never had none of these type of problems until this cracker, and I did say cracker. I did not stutter when I said it. This cracker brought us to America. The original black people who landed in America, we were unable to educate or give our offspring the first knowledge of who they were, their culture, the knowledge of the history or anything concerning their origin. The white man took the children and miseducated them by teaching them a false history, a false identity, a false knowledge of their culture. So when you see black men like your brother and many others, when you see them doing this thing, just like, let's say, the young brother, the rapper, when you see black men behaving in this manner, they only get it from their slave master, this cracker, because they were the only examples we had, and they were not very good examples. So therefore, what we are actually doing, we are emulating something that was taught to us by them.
Absolutely, but what I'm saying that it's time to put that to rest. We already know what we've learned, but we need to unlearn that, because what is happening is that as long as we can say that, okay, our behavior is the result of Willie Lynch, okay, we already know where it came from, but now we need to get back to our nature. So that's what I'm saying. We need to undo Willie Lynch. Forget all that. We need to start loving one another, start trusting one another, stop being envious of one another. Stop being judgmental because one is dark and one is light and one got fine hair and one got coarse hair. Because these are the things that Willie Lynch has implemented in us to take us out of our natural state. And so
that's correct.
People are walking around today acting like they don't know that we have to still love one another and come together, because unless we come together, the open enemy is going to destroy us by continuing to teach us to destroy ourselves. So I'm not gonna go there, because you know where I'm finna go. So I'm finna shut up.
Oh, sister,
I'm gonna let Brother Captain Allen talk a minute. I'm sorry, I'm hot now. Brother Captain Allen. You are a teacher of men. And how can we turn this around?
That's a good question. From my my understanding and the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad in dealing with this situation, we have to be re-educated. If we study the history and stuff, and we look at the history, how this man put us in this condition, we have to reverse that. We have to implement love and unity among our people, regardless of what they do, what they look like, or how they act, or whatever the situation may be. We still got to show them love. As the brother was stating, in Asia, in Africa, where we came from, it was love there. All of the men went out and they provided for the whole society or the whole family set that they left behind. But in our community today, we go out as individuals, on individualism. We are not unified mindly, nor are we unified as a people. And until we implement and remind each other that, look here, we all are the same, regardless of the situation, what kind of financial situation we in, what kind of living situation we in, we still have to love our brothers and sisters regardless of that. Whatever, because we use sickness. That will of this thing, oh, that brother's sick, man, don't mess with him. You know, he crazy. We talk about each other in that manner until we get out of that mode and start showing them some love and concern. We go into the parable of the Bible where this man walk by the man and see him in the ditch, and these three gentlemen pass by, and the Good Samaritan come there and help him. We got to be Good Samaritan to our own people and show some love to our people. And remind them, look here, I give you love, pass it on. You don't have to give me anything back in return. One thing that this man has implemented in our mind is we got to get paid for everything we do. There's got to be a price. And that's why we set each other out, because that man will offer us a certain money, a certain amount of privilege that we tell our brothers and sisters, and it causes us to fall into more.
Okay, wait a minute, Brother Captain, your phone is breaking up a little bit.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, because I got dropped off the call earlier.
Oh, okay.
In fact, I'm at the mosque now. In certain parts of the mosque, my phone cuts out and everything.
Okay.
But understanding that we got to show our people love regardless of their situation or condition that they're living in. And once we show them the love and ask and remind them, look here, if I show you love, pass it on to your brothers and sisters. This way we can start something. It's just like a fire. If you start a fire and you blow that fire along, it's going to begin to burn everything it come in contact with. If we show one person some love and love will keep passing on, eventually it will get around to everyone and everything.
Yes, sir.
Until we start this, It's not gonna fuel itself. We have to start it with the one that know. One thing I've understood: the duty of the civilized is to teach and train the uncivilized. A wise man can learn from a fool, but a fool cannot learn from a wise man. Why is that? Because the fool will always remain foolish in his action and behavior. He's not gonna change. And if we understand the character and the behavior of the Caucasian, he's not going to care. I don't care how good, Mr. So-and-so is good to me. He helped me do this. He did that for a reason. To get you vulnerable, he can do that. See, and if we understand in life, even all of our rich people, so-called rich people in life, the movie star, the basketball player, look how he have allowed them to get financially stable and then tie them down in one stroke. See,
that's
if we
right.
understand this, then we don't. If I gain $1 million tomorrow, is I get selfish with that $1 million and stuff, and my brothers don't have anything. That's what causes problems for me. I'm getting myself on the top, so the one that don't have it is going to try to rob me to get some of it. So why don't I share it with them and bring them
at the same level with me, that I am, and then we won't have that situation.
That's right.
And I'll stop right there. Because Allah will bless me with some things. I know how you feel.
Yes, sir. And Brother Todd, we haven't forgotten about you, but we gonna let DJ Black Caesar play us a song, and we gonna come back and we gonna talk about the price tag on our children's heads. And I'm talking to my sisters out there, talking about this child support and how they don't let their children see their fathers because the child support ain't paid. Oh yeah, we gonna talk about that when we come back. DJ Black Caesar, give us a song so I can go get me some water and cool off.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, for real. We do find our young brothers dead in the street. And so that blood is still shedding. So we have a lot of work to do. I want to talk about child support.
Yes. Hold on one. We have some questions. Let's let the people ask
questions.
Sure.
Let's take the questions.
Area code 716, go ahead and ask your question, please, or make a comment. 716.
Oh, hi, this is A-Money. I was just calling in to show love to Sister Gidget. Salaam alaikum to everyone.
Wa alaikum salaam, queen. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm blessed by Allah's grace. I'm calming down a little bit.
Yes. You know, I heard you had to get some water to put kind of that fire out tonight because you are on fire.
Yes, ma'am. This is A Money with the A Money Show. How you doing tonight, Queen?
I'm doing good. I really enjoy your show. I'm glad I tuned in. I got you on both sides, the internet side. I'm calling in, and it's with me and my husband is over here elaborating on the show. And now you're getting ready to talk about the child support or something. You said.
Yes, ma'am.
So, and I heard you say that how some of the moms try to keep their kids from, or their children from the fathers because child support is not paid and is a issue all over the world, and I just don't agree with that. I really don't. I mean, because I do believe that, you know, support should come from both parents, but I do think that we as women should take the initiative to take the responsibility as knowing who we got with in the beginning to know that, you know, they wasn't going to be their support. But in all actuality, you lay there, you had the baby, you have to nurture and take care of that child, whether he's there or not. But the only person who get hurt is the kids in the end, because if you keep them from seeing their father and, you know, whether he's financially supporting them, they need the other support, you know, stability, the nurture of a father, mentally, spiritually, physically, everything, you know, and you just stop the growth, you know, in them by doing that.
Absolutely, absolutely, and that was my point, Queen, because, you know, I have, and I'm not saying everybody, so if I'm stepping on some toes, it's just too bad, but I have heard so many of my sisters say, you know, well, you know, he don't pay no child support, so there's no sense of him coming around. He don't pay no child support, so therefore he don't need to visit them or he don't need to exact his visitation rights. And I'm going to tell you something. Child support does not raise a child, especially a young male child. A child needs his father whether he has paying a dime a month or $10,000 a month. No amount of money can replace a father in a young man's life, in a young girl's life. And so we need to get away from that. We need to stop putting price tags on our children and using our children as bargaining tools when our relationships go bad. And, you know, I'm going to talk about that, but okay. Ooh, I got to calm down again. But thank you for your comment, Queen. Thank you, A-Money, so much for calling in, and thank you for your support.
Oh, no problem.
I cannot believe this sister came on the show and didn't say nothing to Brother Rakim Muhammad. I cannot believe that. I cannot believe it.
Well, maybe she was looking for Scooby-Doo.
You know, so, she might see Scooby-Doo next week. She may see him.
Did say something. I salaamed everyone.
Okay. All right. Okay.
But I'm so used to Scooby-Doo.
You know, so I'm going to talk to Scooby for you. Scooby might talk to you. If Caesar wants to come on, I'm going to tell Scooby to come on the show next week.
Absolutely. Caesar, Scooby has to be on, and I need some entertainment news on Scooby-Doo.
Okay.
Oh,
Dad,
Lord. Okay. Do we have any more questions, Caesar?
Hold on for a second. We got another question from 318.
Okay.
318, go ahead and ask your question or make a comment.
Hey, what's good, Caesar? This is your boy, Mr. Emmy, down here in Bossier City.
What's good, bro? I just
tuned in and I've been listening to a little bit about this child support thing, you feel me? And I got a comment, you know, from the positive male side of things.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you got nowadays, you know what I'm saying, you have Beyonce that can walk the minds of a lot of these young females as far as, you know, the independence and things. You know, I've seen nowadays that there are a lot of young males that are wanting to be that male father figure nowadays, and a lot of females are just doing a lot of, I guess, being spiteful towards them or something, because it seems like the roles have reversed. The game has changed. You know, most females got the independent thing on, and guys want to be family-oriented, and it's like, well, you know what I'm saying, if you ain't, like you ain't making that type of money or whatever to keep that lifestyle up, they don't want nothing to do with you.
Right.
Yeah, and you know, brother, that is really by design, and I'm give you a brief history. In the 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, as far as we could go back, I'm saying it's maybe in our generational family, you had fathers who went out and worked. Most of the mothers stayed at home. And what happened around the 60s and the 70s, when we were standing on the shoulders of Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, and then in the 70s, the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad became more prevalent than they were in the early years. And so black men started to stand up, and black men started to redo for self, because we always did for self in our early history. And then we had Jim Crow and all those other things that intervened. However, what our corporate society decided to do is that they would educate the black woman, and they would put the black woman in jobs that would usually go to a black man, so that the woman's mindset would be that, hey, we don't need that black man no more, because we could do it all for ourselves. We could go to work, and we could pay the car note and the house note, and we could raise the babies and have the babies. And so that is by design. And that is just an extension of Willie Lynch, because when they are holding the purse strings, they are holding the control of the livelihood of the nation. And that's why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us to do for self, because when we can do for self like we're supposed to, we're back to our nature in which we were created, and then there's a balance there. But as long as we are feeding in to the teachings and the extended teachings of Willie Lynch, there's going to always be an imbalance. And the only way to get that balance back is that we have to educate our people to get them back to their nature. And because if we don't, it's going to continue. And somebody at some point has got to stand up and say, hey, enough is enough. Y'all brothers out there who are financially challenged, and you feel like your baby mama or your ex-wife, she feels she's so independent, she don't need you. Do what you have to do to be an existing factor in that child's life, because she cannot buy fatherhood. I don't care how much money she got. So you right, brother. Society has changed the black woman, for real.
I agree on that.
Yes, sir.
And you know what, you know, just to add on to that, you know, it is, you know, I've seen a lot of cases where, you know, the woman is the breadwinner, and the guy has fallen into that so-called Mr. Mom category, you know what I mean? But, you know, there are some in the eyes of some females, you know, they see it as a sign of weakness, you know what I mean? Instead of someone knowing their role, you know what I mean?
Well, in the teachings of Willie Lynch, he taught to reverse the role of the man and the woman. He put the woman up front, because the woman is the first educator of the man. So if she's weak, she's going to teach weakness. You see what I'm saying? But in our nature, for a woman to have a man who may be on the downside of anything, you know, it is our place to restore. It is our place to comfort. It is our place to encourage. And it is our place to go side by side in with him in the trenches and lift him up. That's what we're supposed to do. But what I hear us doing is that we're putting them down, you know, he ain't got nothing, he ain't this,
exactly.
He ain't that. And you know what? We will never be successful with that mindset. When we learn to love one another, when we learn what a commitment is, when we learn what marriage is, when we learn how to relate and work together to build something, then that's when we'll come together. That's why we have so many sisters and brothers that are not married, because the mindset is still with Willie Lynch.
I feel that. I feel that 100%.
Yes, sir. Thank you, brother, for calling in so much. Thank you for listening to the show.
No doubt.
Yes, sir.
Jeez, what's going on that side?
Hey, man, it's all going good. Hey, Sister Gidget, I think he has something else to say. Go ahead and share your information, brother. I know it's not the time and the place, but go ahead and put your commercial out there.
Oh, yeah, help out on a little bit. We got a little tour on the 29th of December. It's headed towards the Tupelo Shannon area. You know, we're going to collaborate with DJ Caesar on the Phil Asians tour. So if you're in the area, come out and support us. Shout out to DJ Caesar. Sister Gidget, keep doing your thing. Keep dropping that knowledge. And, you know, just keep it real.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Okay. Any more questions, Caesar?
No, ma'am. That looks like it.
Okay. So, Brother Charles, are you still there? I don't want to neglect him, Brother Charles.
Wow. You know what? That might be the phone that actually dropped and they didn't call back in. He's a 601 number, right?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
His phone dropped earlier, and I was trying to call, and you told me don't call, so, hey, I didn't call
him. Oh, I told you to call him during the song. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was me doing it. Yeah, I did call during the song. Yeah, that was me, too.
Okay, well, go ahead and try to call him back, and maybe we could get Brother Captain Allen to talk up just a little bit more. And, tell us about, you know, what have the brothers come to you about, Captain? I mean, you're a captain. I don't know how close you get with the brothers, but when it comes to issues of child support and absentee fatherism and all of that, how do you deal with that, with the brothers?
I haven't had that problem here in Jackson.
They got
the men and everything up the park, and they take care of their family. So, from my understanding, just like I stated previously, if we don't show that love for each other, if the siblings don't put something to sell, they're using their children as a pawn to make money. And this was implemented when welfare and all of this stuff came into it, because the more children you had, the more food stamps and the more welfare money that you got into the home. So this was what generated this particular thing. Now, since that is being cut off, now they implement putting more on the father figure to make him pay and everything. See, this was a problem that was created a long time ago with the welfare system and stuff. So the only way that we're going to have to change this is the mother and father have to get together and work with what they have and build off of that until they can sustain themselves to live in a more comfortable life. And this is my understanding, you know, from the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad through the guidance of the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan, that we can accomplish moving ourselves out of this thing. I'm not going to deny it. At one particular time before I came into the nation, I was on food stamps too, me and my wife and everything. But when I started studying the teaching and learning how I had to do for myself and provide for my family, it learned me that I had to get out and we had to be on even terms. Look here, we worked this thing out to be together. And the more one advanced, the other one advanced. And there will not be any conflict or misunderstanding in the relationship. And if we keep this up, and we be trustful and keep in communication with each other, we'll have a better family life. Now, a lot of our family come out of not going through the courtship that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us. We get in relationship not with the intention of being married and stuff. And all of this is because of the fact that we were trying to get those food stamps and get on welfare and everything so that the woman can sit at home and collect money and the brother can go to the club and shoot pool and drink beer and stuff. And this is how all of this thing
came.
I'm
just yes,
here with you because I've been there. So I had to learn how to get out of this state of mind and change and face those difficulties in life. Okay, baby, we got to get together and work this thing out. We only have this amount of finance now. So we're going to have to live off this amount of finance so we can generate a higher income to move a little higher and get more things that's comfortable to our living condition. And if we can understand that, because a lot of us, a thing of greed and envy develops inside the family. Well, you owe me this and you owe me that. You supposed to have been doing this for me. See, the promises that we made before we got into that relationship sometimes don't happen after we get there. And this causes problems, too. And I'm trying to deal with a lot of situations and things that I've been through in my life to share with you that these things can occur in married life as well as unwedded life. And a lot of times the game of the man is to persuade the woman to do certain things and stuff, and then after it's over with, you know, he's on about his business and stuff. But see, they are holding him responsible.
Mailbox number 83288793306. Please leave your message after the tone.
This is where the laws and everything come in at. So these are the things. This is how the Caucasian man has set laws and stuff up to govern us and keep us in a bound. And until we break that bound, we will still be working in his way. And doing the things that he wants to do to keep us tied in. That's why a lot of us is going to jail. It's because there's a lot of that he has set in motion for this. If you don't pay your child support, you get locked up. How can you pay your child support behind bars? And then it's another form of slavery. They got
you
in
the
state or the government.
You can't pay your child support behind bars. It's crazy.
Yes, sir.
You cannot pay child support behind no bars. How you going to pay child support behind board? That's impossible.
You can't do it, sir. You can't pay child
support. You know, and when you talked about welfare, Brother Captain, you know, the thing about it is that welfare later on became a ploy to pull the man out of the household. Because at some time when Teddy Roosevelt, I think that's who it was, or Franklin D., one of them Roosevelts, when they created the New Deal was for poor people, poor families, not
poor
just
white people.
Really
recording
the,
time is about
the,
to expire.
The mother.
Please finish your message within 8 seconds.
Okay, it wasn't just for the mother who had children. It was for the family. Then later on,
this message now,
they felt like,
down.
You know, we're not
going to
feed the white, the black man at all. So
now,
in order to qualify
down.
For the food stamps and for the welfare
down.
Check or whatever, they have
to
pull the
now,
black man
down.
Out
to
of the household in order to get those little food stamps or the little welfare check or whatever. So that's
now, press pound. To replay your message, press 3.
Caesar, what is that? What is that, Cuzzo?
I got a helicopter flying over.
Yeah, hold on for a second, gentlemen. Hold on for a second. You guys play up the phone. We need to mute the phone out. I hear a lot of background noise.
Yes,
and I'm calling Mr. Gidget back. Yeah, okay, that's better. Thank you.
Who's who are we calling now? That's Sister Gidget?
Yeah.
Ah.
You have reached mailbox number 832.
Will the show go on? Brother Captain, keep on with your comments, sir.
Yes, sir.
I think I'm back right here now. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. We hear you.
Okay.
Brother Captain, go ahead, Brother Captain. We finally got my big sister back on the phone. I get worried about her sometimes. I need to get the local police department number down or the local FOI or something.
Get the FBI off my phone. Get them to stop tapping my phone. I know y'all listening, so stop tapping my phone. I ain't gonna say nothing on here that I ain't gonna say to your face. Now.
That's right. I like that history you was giving.
Well, you know, but what I was saying was that it's designed like that, and even more so now, you know, they have plotted and planned this thing to a T. They have taken it to the nines. And what I'm saying is that now, if you don't pay your child support, you can lose your license. If you don't pay your child support, you can go to jail. Well, let me tell you something. They acting like they doing that for the benefit of the children. However, if he ain't paying no child support and he out here free, him being locked up, the baby still don't get fed. So you're not doing nobody any justice by doing that. That's why they have wage garnishment. If he's out there making money, then you can garnish his wages or whatever. If he ain't out here making money legally, you know, a law will take care of his own. So putting a black man in jail because he can't pay child support is nothing but new industrialized slavery. It's a game. That's how they done put it on paper and call it a law. But what it is slavery. And the only thing that keeps it from being slavery is that they lock you up for years and years, months and months, however long, and they pay you 93 cents a day, between 93 cents and $4.20 a day for your labor, and that's what keeps it from being slavery. But they ain't running no game on nobody. We already know what it is, and that's why I tell black men all the time, you think you out here hustling, you think you out here getting money. No, what you're doing, you're getting your freedom took, and you're going to go and really hustle for some people that's not going to pay you nothing, and you're not going to be free. It don't make sense. And we have to wake up, people. We have to wake up.
Yes, ma'am. Can I implement this? For every black man or any person that goes to prison, these prisons collect from the federal government something like $22,000 to $25,000 a year. That's the reason they implement building prison farms and putting our people in there, because they can get it from the taxpayer that's working a regular job, an honest job. And it forces the one that can't get a job to do wrong so they can put them in there and get the money off the one that's working job. See, this whole system is set up to suck the life force out of all of the people on the planet. I can get into some more things. These big multi-billionaires that rule the world, these big bankers, if we study the teaching of Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, we know these big bankers control companies. They control people. President don't run no United States. They have to work under the finance of other people. See, that's the reason they have to get all of their Congress and House of Representatives together to get up a financial plan on what they're going to have to pay each people in the United States. The whole plan
is
to
set. Yeah, go ahead and call their name, Rockefeller, Rothschild, all of y'all. Yeah, y'all.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Name.
I appreciate you. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah,
go on. But a lot
the
is going to push all
of them. Yeah, all of them.
I got another name for him, Sister Gidget. It's called NGB. If you know what NGB is, that's what I call him.
Well, let me tell you something about that. using prisoners to do work that companies won't hire you to do. And I'm going to name some of them. Bank of America, when you call for customer service, that's an inmate you're talking to. Continental Airlines, when you call to make a plane reservation, that is an inmate that you're talking to. McDonald's, the uniforms that you see the people at McDonald's wear, they are made by prisoners. So many companies, Parade Canning Company, they grow the vegetables on the prison farm, and governor or somebody owns part of the Parade Canning Company, so the labor is practically free. These prisons have contracts with corporate America to keep your black behind out of work. That's why we have to do for self. We have to create jobs for ourselves. We have to stop depending on this man to give us something that we can do for ourselves. It's not a game anymore, y'all. It's serious.
That's
and
right.
We are
that's
losing
true.
Black men by the hundreds of thousands. When I did my statistics on this for this broadcast, 64%, 64% of the children today are growing up without a father in the household, and 7% of them are growing up without a mother or a father but are being raised by the grandparents. Come on, people. Really? Really?
Sister Gidget.
Yes.
Could you do your little brother a favor?
I'm going to shut up. Yeah.
No, not that. Just take a squig of water, sister. Just take some water. Drink your little water, sister. Calm down a little bit. Hey, Caesar.
Yes, sir.
I think this is a hype. It's unheard, Sister Gidget. This is a very, very intense radio show tonight.
Yeah, it's a great show, man. I'm loving it.
It's intense. Sister Gidget is on fire.
Well, you know, I was fine until I read this letter by this fool called Willie Lynch. I was fine up until that point. And I was reading the letter trying to critique myself for the show. And like I said, he uses the word nigga more than I heard in the whole 16-hour series of Roots. And I'm like, you know, this is really sickening. But then what's really more sickening about it is that when he talks about how he has manipulated the nature, not just the mindset, when he's taken the nature of the black man that is vertical and has reduced him to a horizontal being, and still 300 years after this cracker is dead and crusted in the ground, we still, right now today in 2012, hanging on to his raggedy behind. I don't get it. I'm sorry, I get it. I missed it.
Did you just say cracker, sister?
I don't know what I'm saying.
But it's really
disturbing, because you know what? At the end of the day, you know, I can get on here, I can shout, I can scream to the top of my lungs, but at the end of the day, there's work to be done. Household by household, block by block, city by city, state by state. We have a work to do. And I'm telling everybody who's in listening distance of my big mouth, especially those of us who have been blessed with the teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, if you do not keep your duty to Allah, you have failed. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about you, because they say that what you have done to the least of these, you have also done unto me. And if we don't get out there and try to educate our people, their blood is on our hands, because we have the ability to turn this around. But if we sit up here and talk about, well, I'm standing on my square and I'm doing right and I'm eating to live and I'm praying 5 times a day, what difference does it make from when you get up off your prayer rug, little Johnny got a damn gun in your head? What difference does it make?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, Sister Gidget, I will say this right here. I'm gonna tell you how we kill all of this. Like you said, we must educate our people. I mean, we got to come out of this Willie Lynch syndrome, but the only way we can come out of this Willie Lynch syndrome, first of all, in the Nation of Islam, and you can go to the Bible. If you're a Christian, you can go to the Bible and find these. We live, or we're supposed to live. Some of us don't live by these laws, but we got the restrictive laws. Let me run down the restrictive laws to you. Obey Allah. And for every Christian who don't know who Allah is, because I have people saying that Allah is something different than God. I mean, I beg to differ. I mean, Allah is God. Elohim, Jehovah, Jah, Yahweh, whatever you call him, that is one of the many attributes of God's name, but Allah is the most proper name, or shall I say, his proper name. Obey God, his apostle, and believe in the message sent to you. Obedience in his apostle is obedience to Allah. Christian, that means God. Worship no God but Allah. Fear no God but Allah. Obey those in authority among you. And check this out. We as black people, this is part of that Willie Lynch syndrome. I'm going to say this again. Obey those in authority among you and obey non-believers in authority over you as long as it does not conflict with your religion. Most of us, we feel like we don't have to obey no damn body but the white man. But when you go on these jobs and you got a brother or a sister as your supervisor or your manager or your boss, you feel like you don't have to respect this person. You can talk about him like a dog. You can talk about how you want to whoop his butt in the parking lot when you get off. But when this white man tells you the same thing that this brother or sister told you, you shut your mouth. You ain't got no problem with that. Most of you don't have a problem with that. Because you feel like the white man should be the one in authority over you. But I will tell you this. Once we learn to respect one another, once we learn how to respect authority, period, that will make us better people. No drinking wine, beer, whiskey, ale, alcohol, and other intoxicants. Do you know that the white man used alcohol to control your black behind? He left you disoriented on his plantation to keep you in bondage. How you going to run when you're stumbling? How you going to fight when you're stumbling and you fall to the ground and you, excuse my language, pissy drunk? You high as a kite for smoking your weed and smoking your crack. How can you defend yourself against this enemy? As a black man, how can you defend your woman or your children? You can't.
Brother Rakim, while you're talking about the restrictive laws, let me say something to my Christian brothers and sisters right now. Because let me tell you another thing that they don't talk about. But if you don't hear it nowhere else, Sister Gigi's going to tell you tonight.
Uh-huh.
We are also divided by faith. They give us Christianity. We claim Islam. But let me tell you something. Like Minister Farrakhan say, it's only one religion. It's obedience to God. But let me tell you something about this Bible and this Quran. They divided the books. You got the Muslims looking for Muhammad. You got the Christians looking for Elijah. When he said, I will send you Elijah, they divided the books. If you put them together, they'll tell you that they will send you Elijah Muhammad. That is your freedom. That is your justice, and that is your equality. You can take it or leave it alone, but we are divided by faith because we have one teaching over here and one teaching over here, but if you bring them together the way that they were originally written, you would understand that the teachings of the honor of Elijah Muhammad came for his people. So everybody that's black, brown, yellow, whatever color you are outside of white, those teachings are for you. And I'm not disrespecting the church or whatever, but I'm telling it like it is. You can take it or leave it alone, but
oh,
that is the truth.
That's the truth, because you know something? Being raised in this religion, Christianity, I was raised a Christian. Most of us were raised a Christian. Most black people you run across, when you ask them what their religion is, and Brother Captain, you know I'm not lying when I say this, when we be out soldiering in the community, we have some ignorant people of ours to say, I'm a Baptist. Well, damn it, I'm going to ask you a question. Who was John Calvin? This was a white racist cracker who was a founder of the Baptist religion. You can't even tell me who he is or how you became a Baptist. But being raised a Christian, which this is something that really kills a black man spiritually and destroys his knowledge of himself and God. Listen, let me tell you something. In order for us to destroy this Willie Lynch syndrome, we must be born again. Born again. We got to be born again in religion. We must return to our own religion. Christianity is the white man's concept of religion. He does not understand religion because he would not practice what he says he believes in. So, damn it, you know he's not a good example for us. He uses religion to bind people's minds to himself in a false lifestyle. He is the God of Christianity and not Jesus. Black people are religious by nature, but to prosper, they must be in the right religion to get the right results. Hitler was a Christian. Stalin was a Christian. Jim Jones, and damn, Jim Jones, this white cracker who took herds of our people down in South America and killed them, making them drink Kool-Aid because he knew niggas love Kool-Aid.
Okay. Truman
was
okay,
a Christian.
Wait a minute, Brother Rakim. Hold on. Oh, my God. Okay.
Oh, sister.
Woo. You know what?
Yes, ma'am.
We have to be mindful of the time and, woo. Okay. Brother Caesar, are there any questions out there? Boy, I know he didn't say niggas like Kool-Aid.
Yeah, you do. I got a question. Why do niggas like
Kool-Aid?
Can you tell me why?
I hear noises. What you say?
I said, why do niggas like Kool-Aid? Can you tell me why?
Because it's cheap.
And just to get it, you're right, and it's cheap and it's sweet, and we like sweet things. We like sweet stuff, so you're right. It's cheap and it's sweet. So that's why we like
it. Okay, did we lose?
I'm sorry, y'all.
Did we lose Brother Captain Allen?
I don't know.
No, sir. No, ma'am. No, I'm still here.
Okay, all right, Brother Captain Allen, I'm sorry. I know me and Brother Rakim, you know, that's my twin. You know, our birthday is on the same day, so we have matching souls, and I know we done kind of lost our minds up in here. But this is just something that I'm just very, very passionate about. I tell people all the time, I'm a brother, sister. You know, I'm partial to the FOI, and I can't help that because I grew up in a house full of men, and I am so determined. I love my sisters now, don't get me wrong, but I am so determined to save the black man because the black man is like a rare gem in our society right now. And, you know, Allah has blessed me with an insight to where I'm able to always see the big picture of things. And when we hear about a little shooting over here or a shooting over there or a shooting over there, you have to understand that we only hearing about a percentage. And when we hear about, you know, there was a drug bust here and people went to jail here and people went to jail there, we're only hearing about a percentage. But then when I go to the U.S. Department of Justice and I try to see how many black men are incarcerated, we have 847,000 black men locked up in prison. That's just prison. That's not including the ones that are locked up in the county jail. That's not including the ones that got their foot on a banana peel and one in the graveyard because they on parole. That's not including the ones that are just, you know, out here on probation, and if they look cross-eyed or something, they can go to jail. It is a diabolical plan to incarcerate and kill the black man. And I can see the big picture. And it's critical that, you know, the FOI, Minister Farrakhan, is always on time. He's taking the FOI to the street. But then we have to start developing community centers, community houses, where we can educate our people. We have to stop being so fickle about religion. You know, well, I'm not going to talk to you because you're a Muslim. I'm not going to deal with you because you're a Christian. We have to get away from that because it's about saving our people. That's what the honorable Elijah Muhammad was raised from our midst for. And if we do not take the teachings that we have been so blessed to have and utilize them to save our own people, we have gotten these teachings for naught. We have made the work of Minister Farrakhan in vain if we don't get up off our backside and do the work that is required for us to do to save our people. And I'm going to tell you something. This white man ain't playing because he's going to incarcerate all the black men because this is the plan. He's going to incarcerate all the black men and all the black women that are willing to cross the line. He's going to impregnate your stupid behind so he can reproduce a God, what he think is going to be a God in the future. So if you don't think that yourself as a black man, as a black woman, is precious on this earth, you got another thing coming. You need to look in the mirror and know who you are. You are the original man. You are the man that Allah created first. And you need to know your value, know your worth, and you need to love yourself so when you look in the mirror, you see love. And when you look at your brother and sister, regardless of what shade or color they are, or how straight their hair is, or how kinky their hair is, and how dark they are, or how light they are, you need to look at them with love because that is going to be what holds us together and what brings us together. Now, I'm going to shut up because I'm about to lose my voice. And I'm going to let Captain Allen talk to us about the atonement process and how to bring fathers and sons together.
Oh, can I say something real quick, Sister Gidget?
Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am. You need to shut up before you lose your voice. But I need to talk to you after the show is over with.
Yes, sir.
Brother Captain, go ahead, brother.
Yes, sir. My phone battery is getting kind of low, so I'm going to make this short and sweet.
Yes, sir.
If we understand the movement of the minister, he's implemented 9 ministries. And if we involve ourselves in all these 9 ministries, along with him putting the FOI in the community to develop the community centers, and places to educate our people, then this will be a great boost in developing our people to have a better knowledge of themselves. The question that I ask, and a lot of us should ask ourselves, we also make the statement, knowledge is power. Okay, that's a statement. But knowledge is not power. Knowledge is a tool. Once you use it, you will gain the power. We have the tools here in the Nation of Islam to solve all of our problems, to atone for all of the things that we have did to our women and our children and our men. If we use these tools in the proper way, we can make atonement to Allah and ourselves. First thing we got to do is forgive ourselves. If we don't forgive ourselves, then we can't forgive no one else because that is that inner God within itself. If we don't never forgive that God within itself, we cannot atone to the one that's outside of self. We got to work on self first. And doing that, once we make that atonement and recognize that we have to change, a lot of us as black men and women don't like change. Well, we got to adjust. I like to use the word adjust because it brings about a change as we work. It is a formula of moving in the right direction. If we are moving left in order to move right, because in our marching orders, we say right face. Well, we automatically look right and turn right. But
that's right.
In life, we don't automatically do that because you got a 90-degree angle there, and you won't stop at 45 degrees because something's going to distract you. And we got to understand things in life will distract you from turning all the way from that wrong position to the right position to get you back on track. These are the methods and ways of using the tools that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan have given us to get back on track with ourselves and the God that came and brought us this knowledge. So we have to work with this knowledge and use them in the proper way to gain the power that we need to correct our people and ourselves. And the first thing we got to do is correct ourselves because we got to be the example for the rest of the world and our community. Thank y'all. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, like,
yes,
love,
sir.
Brother Curtis. I mean, Brother Captain. I'm saying Brother Curtis. Brother Captain.
Yes, sir.
Brother, brother, you on fire tonight, brother. This is the most I ever heard this brother talk.
All praise is due to Allah.
Listen. Man, brother Captain is going off. Okay, praise be to Allah. I mean, brother, I can't wait to see you again, brother. Yes, sir. That's my captain.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
I got to get off the phone. My battery is going down. I got to go put my phone on charge. So,
yes, sir.
When the next call, just keep me informed. I'll get on the next call with y'all.
Thank you, brother. We appreciate you, brother Captain Allen. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you very much for inviting me on. I appreciate it. This radio talk show is very informative, and it brings out the God and the Spirit of Allah, the righteous God, within oneself. If we don't use that Spirit, we're not going to grow. So we got to. A lot of times when it comes out, we have to kind of get control and humble ourselves and stuff because sometimes our people are not on the same level that we are on, and we have to understand that. So when we go into the grave, and I'm going to get into some more teaching here now. If we
go out into
the community,
go ahead.
We get into the dirt and the filth that our people are in. We know how to clean ourselves up. So what we bring to them is ways and means of how to clean themselves up. Give them a reminder. Look here, brother, this is going to lead you into something that you don't want to be in. A lot of times you have to drop that seed and let them learn for themselves. Sometimes they will make that turn, that 90-degree turn to the right face. Sometimes they will turn that 45 degrees and get distracted and go in the wrong direction and get locked up. See, these are the things that we know that this would have. But we cannot give up on our brothers and sisters as long as we got this truth. If we get up on them like Sister Gidja said, that blood is on our hands. So we got to study, pound, and remind our brothers and sisters in the street, this is not the way. We have been taught the wrong way for over 400 years. It haven't increased us in nothing in society. It gives you a false sense of dignity among yourself. See, and having money, having nice cars, having houses, if we understand the teaching, all of this is vanity. This is not the love and unity of the black man and woman of America. If we love and unify with each other, this will be more in the eyes of Allah than having all these big houses, having these nice cars, having fine clothes and jewelry. See, we got to love and respect each other and help each other with that love and unity among ourselves. And I'd like to greet all of y'all with the nation's most holy greeting of peace. Wassalamu alaikum.
Well, make them come on, sir.
All right. Oh, man.
Oh,
this was a treat tonight.
Okay.
This was a treat tonight.
Wow. Okay, Caesar, we got anybody out there on the line?
No. Yeah, we got a lot of people on the line, but there's nobody with a question. We got 6 minutes to go.
Okay, anybody have a question? You can call in 646-716-5971. Hit Caesar in the chat room. He'll ask the question on your behalf. I guess it's just me and you now, Brother Rakeem.
Yeah,
Oh, yes, ma'am. It's just me and you. And Sister Gidget, you know something other than when Brother Captain Allen was speaking? Damn, it's been all you.
Well, I apologize for that, but you know, Brother Martin,
it's
some things that have to be said and some things have to be done, and I'm not that sister to like to sit around and talk about stuff. I like to get it popping. I like to make things happen, and you know, I'm blessed to even be here and to have life and to have bigger and to be able to move around as well as I do. And I'm just not going to let the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the work of Minister Farrakhan be in vain. I just refuse to do that.
Oh, that's right. That's right, sister.
I absolutely refuse.
But don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining, sister. I'm not complaining at all. All I'm telling you is this right here. I've never heard you teach and talk so much. I've never heard that. And
you missed it.
Normally, we get these people on the show, and Caesar, you know I'm not lying. We'll get people on the show, and Sister Gidget will be like, you know, I'm not really prepared for this show, I don't want to just talk a long time. I said, Sister Gidget, don't worry about it, because this person we got on the show, they might do all the talking for you. But guess what? This particular show right here, Sister Gidget was off the chain.
Well, I wasn't trying to be off the chain. I think Caesar has bear witness to this before. It's just certain things that really get in my craw. We really have to be about our Father's business, and you know, and we have to build a nation, and we have to represent you, I, Sister Marilyn, Brother Rasul, Brother Jamil, everybody, Caesar, Bianna. Brother Vern and Brother Jahar, everybody that's a part of this network has a responsibility to the believers, to the so-called lost found. We have a responsibility and we have a work to do. And you know, and a lot of people say, well, you know, Sister Gidget, you take it too seriously. And sometimes I know people get tired of doing the talk shows, but we have to reach our people the best way that we can. And if I can talk to 2 people or 200 people and impact their lives in a positive way, then that's what nation building is all about. That's what we're here for.
That's right.
Yep. So that's what I'm trying to represent. So closing out, because I think we have 3 minutes. I want to take the time to kind of run down the network to you. On Sunday, we have Brother Vernon Muhammad. He has our economic development show on Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Central. On Tuesday, we have Brother Jahad Muhammad out of Atlanta, who does Out on the Front Line with the Fruit of Islam, and he has Boots on the Ground report from almost every state in the nation. You are here, maybe some brothers you know, brothers you don't know on the line, and maybe we can get some brothers married, you know, just by some sisters listening, I don't know. You know, I'm willing to try anything to get the nation married. And then on Wednesday, of course, we have DJ Black Caesar and Bianna show. And on Thursday, we have Nation Building Presents. I am still looking to do a show for the youth. We cannot build a nation without our children. I want to do something for them. So if you have children, and I really don't want children, if they're 17 to 25 and they're interested in learning how to engineer a show, how to research for a show, how to write their own shows, please hit me up at the Nation Building Hotline. That number is 832-304-3115. It's 832-304-3115. Hit me up on Facebook. I'm Gidget Aziza Mariam Muhammad. You can hit up Brother Rakim Khalik Muhammad. You can hit up DJ Black Caesar on Facebook. So get in touch with us, and I'm going to shut up, and I'm going to let Brother Rakim close us out tonight, because I done talk myself to death.
Well, I will say this. In order for us to kill this Willie Lynch syndrome, and I'm going to make this real quick, we must be born again. Like Jesus said, we must be born again. How can we be born again? We can be born again in our own culture, our own religion, and we can be born again in economic. Also, we need to be born again in God's name.
Come on.
I'm going to read something to you. Negroes do not have their own names because white people stripped them of their names when in slavery and still have not given them back. Blacks are still using white people's names as their own today. 130 years after slavery legally ended, Negroes have been using white people's names for so long that they have lost the knowledge of how valuable it is to have their own name. McDuffie, Smith, Bush, Johnson, Jones, and Tyrone.
And Gidget.
And my first name was cool. Hey, Gidget. Listen, names symbolize our culture and habit of thought. And it's obvious that blacks still think like white people. God wants to change all of that by giving you one of his 100 names so that you can be identified as one of his children. Change your slave name to a name of God. That's all I got to say. Assalamu alaikum.
All right. Well, I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. I want to thank our guest, Stoma Quad from Pennsylvania. I want to thank Captain Allen Muhammad, Brother Charles Muhammad. We lost him along the way, so we got to get him back one day from Mosque number 78 in Mississippi. Thank you, founder of Nation Building, Brother Rakim, for co-hosting with me tonight. Thank you, DJ Black Caesar, for always bringing and keeping it real. Thank you for the people who called in, especially my girl, A Money, good looking out queen. Love you much and talk to you on Wednesday. And I'll leave you as I came before you. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love, y'all. Good night.